Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. First of all, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the program, this episode of Infotainment in the year 2020, the year of hell because of the China virus that has disrupted about everything you can imagine around the globe. But we will not dwell on that, and I do have another topic to discuss. But I will say this, that hearing the words the new normal and social distancing so much, it's just about making me want to vomit. And I probably will, as this is going to be said for a very long time, those words. Well, let's move on to other news of the day. Police in Taneytown, Maryland, are asking residents to retrieve their mail while wearing pants.
Ooh.
Cops give final warning to residents checking their mail without wearing pants. Police are getting to the bottom of the case. While some cities are urging residents to wear protective masks, cops in Taneytown are warning locals to wear pants at least while they're outdoors checking their mailboxes. Maybe if you move to Oregon, that might not be a problem in some areas. Please remember to put pants on before leaving the house to check your mailbox. A tweet from the Taneytown Police Department said, "You know who you are. This is your final warning." Please remember to put some, that's the same thing there. The crackdown, maybe it is really a crack. Like, how can they show naked and afraid? I mean, that is the most butt crack you'll see of any cable television show. Got a lot of attention on Twitter, where the public appeared mixed on the police department's directive. "Legit walked out in my undies today to check my mailbox. I feel attacked," wrote Charles Alexander Martin. Martin wasn't alone in confessing he retrieves his postal deliveries. "As I'm reading the comments, I'm glad I'm not the only one who does this," Tristan Hawk confessed. Johan Lanahutska had a legal question. "How do cheekless chaps work?" she asked. "Are those acceptable?" Well, I'm sure the purple one, Prince, may he rest in peace, would approve of that. I don't think Michael Jackson ever did that, but Prince did. In a related story, I do have one that is close to what the other one was. As the nation reopens, churches are having to remind people to put on pants. Some churches across the nation have begun reopening, but pastors are running into a problem as many parishioners are forgetting to put on pants. Having grown accustomed to attending church on their couch in their underwear, Christians are having trouble adjusting to the old way of doing church, where you have to put on clothes. We'd just gotten used to rolling out of bed, plopping down on the couch, and turning on the service 10 minutes late, said churchgoer Peter Wiley. Now they expect me to adjust back to wearing clothes and brushing my teeth and stuff. No way. Remember, you have to come in your Sunday best or at least put on some pants, said a visibly exasperated Pastor Gavin Stanley of Texas. We had a small prayer meeting last night, and while most people put on nice dress shirts, most forgot their pants entirely. It was horrifying. Parishioners are also forgetting to comb their hair and take a shower, but pastor's biggest concern right now is their pants. Baby steps, said Pastor Gavin. If we can get their pants on, we'll consider that a win. Plus, the churchgoers kept pulling out remotes and trying to mute me, he added. That was from the Babylon Bee. That sounds suspiciously like an Onion story, but we shall see if around here if they have to remind people to wear pants. I mean, like, where would I put my wallet if I just wore boxer briefs? I mean, if it had worked out the way God intended it to, we'd be wearing a lot less than our pants. Maybe we should start wearing a Fred Flintstone outfit or something like that, the way we're going to look after this. So I've needed a haircut for about a month now. Or wear something like the house elf Dobby wore in the Harry Potter films. Wasn't there something that that was advertised on television? Kind of those as seen on TV things that Walmart at one time called the Snuggie or something. It was like the blanket with arms or something like that. I think that's what it was called. It wasn't Snuggles. That's a fabric softener, but I think it was called the Snuggie. So what did you think of that story, my man?
That was legitness.
Cool, dude. Yes, sir, that really was legitness. Now, if we didn't have enough to worry about with the China virus, I do have another story about the killer hornets. Murder hornets that can sting, can kill. Land in the U.S., the world's largest hornet, a 2-inch killer dubbed the murder hornet, with an appetite for honeybees, has been found in Washington states, where entomologists were making plans to wipe it out. Spokane, Washington, the world's largest hornet, the giant insect from an Asian insect, with a sting that could be fatal to some people, is just now starting to emerge from winter hibernation. They're something out of a monster cartoon with this huge yellow-orange face, said Susan Kobe, a bee breeder at Washington State University. It's a shockingly large hornet, said Todd Murray, a WSU Extension entomologist and invasive species specialist. It's a health hazard and, more importantly, a significant predator of honeybees. I did see a video of that. The murder hornet didn't have much luck against the praying mantis. It couldn't get a stinger around to sting the praying mantis, and the mantis chowed down the bees or the hornet's head pretty rapidly. So we know one thing that can kill it. The hornet was sighted for the first time in the U.S. last December when the State Department of Agriculture verified 2 reports near Blaine, Washington, close to the Canadian border. It also received 2 probable but unconfirmed reports from sites in Custer, Washington, south of Blaine. The hornet can sting through most beekeeper suits, deliver nearly 7 times the amount of venom as a honeybee and sting multiple times, the department said, adding that it ordered special reinforced suits from China. The university said it isn't known how or where the hornets arrived in North America. It normally lives in the forests and low mountains of Eastern and Southeast Asia and feeds on large insects, including wasps and bees. It was dubbed the murder hornet in Japan, where it is known to kill people. The hornet's life cycle begins in April, when queens emerge from hibernation, feed on plant sap and fruit, and look for underground dens to build their nests. Hornets are most destructive in late summer and early fall. Like a marauding army, they attack honeybee hives, killing adult bees and devouring larvae, and WSU said. Their stings are big and painful with a potent neurotoxin. Multiple stings can kill humans, even if they are not allergic, the university said. Farmers depend on honeybees to pollinate many important Northwest crops such as apples, blueberries, and cherries. With the threat from giant hornets, beekeepers may be reluctant to bring their hives there, said Island County Extension scientist Tim Lawrence. An invasive species can dramatically change growing conditions, Murray said, adding that now is the time to deal with the predators. We need to teach people how to recognize and identify this hornet while populations are small so that we can eradicate it while we still have a chance, Murray said. The State Department of Agriculture will begin trapping queens this spring with a focus on Whatcom, Skagit, San Juan, and Island counties. Hunting the hornets is no job for ordinary people. Don't try to take them out yourself if you see them, Looney said. If you get into them, run away, then call us. I wouldn't take them on unless I had something that shot out flames, large flames, flamethrower. And what do you think of that story there, kid?
That was legitness.
Now on to something completely different. It turns out sexting-only arrangements are getting horny folks through the lockdown. Mutually agreed upon digital-only relationships can be a lifesaver in these trying times. A week into quarantine, Brooklyn-based comedian and writer Lily Michelle began sexting with a coworker. The two are good friends. Their relationship has always been flirty, but it took a global pandemic for their exchanges to turn explicit. For over a month, they've been sharing nudes and provocative conversation.
Oh, baby, you are the best.
And I have been laughing the whole time.
But despite the steamy messages, Michelle has no intention of sleeping with her friend when the world goes back to normal. The sexting is strictly a corona activity. Have you checked with him? I'm sure that's what he's thinking, too. It might not end well. I think for quarantine time, sexting is a fun way to feel good. Nothing needs to come from it if you don't want it to, said Michelle. I don't know if I buy that one on the man's side, but if you know them, but it's just like a casual flirt at work or at a coffee shop. On the phone, Michelle's friend has been trying to get her to come over. While she acknowledges the attraction, she isn't interested in something physical. She's also not interested in breaking quarantine. Every time the situation gets to the point where he asks me to come over, I knew he was gonna. I just tell him I can't because his dick is too big for me. It's the funniest way to compliment him while also saying no, she said. Cut off from the world during COVID-19, people have been taking their casual relationships digital. For some, that means sexting with friends. For others, it means sharing nudes and dirty messages with folks they've met on dating apps. While those conversations can be a fun escape from the everyday horrors of this time period and a necessary outlet for pent-up sexual frustrations, it doesn't mean the online hookups will translate into future corporeal escapades. For some people, the fact that sex remains purely digital is the whole appeal. Dating apps have changed our relationship to intimacy in general, but the conditions of the pandemic have exacerbated the gap between only courtship and physical interactions. Tinder currently lets users set their location to anywhere in the world. That feature has meant people are flirting with folks thousands of miles away, with many borders closed for the foreseeable future. It has inevitably led to sexting between people who have never met and probably never will. For Australian software engineer Jane Vincent, this feature allows for some fun to rally against the pandemic's monotony. Oh, put your hardware in my software. Yeah. Of course, it's not practical to entertain thoughts of actually hooking up with Ashton from Brooklyn or Gert in Rotterdam. I think now especially people understand it's all just fantasy, and that's fine. Sexting just feels like a way to pass another quiet evening in, or provides a funny story to tell my friends later. Being able to talk to men all over the world has been interesting, but also kind of proved men on Tinder are the same everywhere. While some men Vincent has been chatting with have started to get attached, she isn't too concerned with hurting anyone's feelings. It is kind of what's happening during the pandemic, stays in the pandemic situation. I used to be more sensitive about men's feelings, but I got over that pretty quickly. I feel like 90% of the men I match with on Tinder are just looking for a hookup or to sex rather than dates, which is fine. The telltale is the question, so what are you on Tinder for? Dude, come on, she said. For some people, sexting has become part of the job. A lot of people have joked about cam modeling during the pandemic. Rebecca Madison actually followed through. Her decision to start an OnlyFans account was due to the fact that the model no longer felt safe conducting sex work in person. On OnlyFans, making money and keeping subscribers relies on making connections. Even if those connections are based on a fantasy, for Madison, creating that bond means sharing a blend of explicit chats and videos with personal stories and details from her life. It gives users a sense of intimacy that's contained to their online interactions. It is also that it pays very well. I've only been doing this for a month, but some of the relationships have already become quite deep. Man, if I started one. Hello there. What are you wearing? I doubt if a man's only cam thing would do as well as a woman's thing, but I suppose it could. I have fans that I talk to every single day, said Madison. Unfortunately, I don't actually have the time to talk to everyone who wants to talk to me. So I have to charge quite a bit for my chatting time, so that I can cut down on the demand. During the pandemic, cultivating sexual relationships through text has been a major source of income for Madison, But even when money is involved, it's important to set clear guidelines and expectations. That's been a successful practice for Chris Gracie, a personal trainer based in New York. Gracie has been using dating apps to find sexting companions during COVID-19. Oh yeah, she's probably working on her glutes while she's sexting with them. And using those rubber bands for the thighs or whatever I see once in a while. When not at the gym, Gracie moonlights as a model. Before the pandemic, he had an active dating life and was always upfront with potential partners that he wasn't looking for anything serious at the moment. He's taken a similar approach on dating apps during quarantine. I know I need a certain amount of attention in this realm, said Gracie. Being able to talk about what specific things you're looking for is very useful to creating a good experience. A little role playing for everyone involved, even when it's just things popping off in their DMs. Being honest and upfront that sexting won't necessarily lead to physical sex in the future has been a turnoff for some people, but practicing good communication and setting clear boundaries has always been a best practice for Gracie. It's about respecting everyone involved enough to be honest about his own needs. Just because the world has changed doesn't mean he should abandon his values. Vocalizing expectations is never going to hurt. Knowing what you're after and talking about it openly is a good way to get what you want. Yeah, I bet a woman could clean house on the money if she was good at it, but during these stressful times.
That was legitness. That was legitness.
Yes, I think it was legitness. But right now, I think it's time to pop, drop, and warp drive this episode of Infotainment to the Interwebs, episode 1, 2, and 3. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. You can check out my Facebook page under Infotainment. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. If you have a comment or question that I can read over the program, I probably will do so. Keep it under 10 minutes or so, and that would be a unique addition to this program. I just recently got a new phone, but I didn't change my number. I was going to have just a number for call-ins, but I don't know if that would have worked. And you can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster and all the other good stuff. So, as I usually say, I hope you have a pleasant day and a happy ending tonight. Goodbye, folks.